Keith, did you get all your technical difficulties worked out? I guess not. Okay.
Sorry.
Oh, there you did. Okay, we can hear you, and you're not like echoing, and so evidently your technical difficulties are finished.
Yeah, my physical difficulties was I had to go to the bathroom nervous.
All right, there you go. Food body problems, as Maharaj would say.
Yeah. And yeah, I got a different computer here, so
Good, good.
So it was interesting last week hearing Andrew's concerns because they're basically the same as mine, I guess. Thinking about having I guess you could say attachment or still being attracted to the worldly goings ons, but I did have a interesting development, especially yesterday. I was doing my daily meditation contemplation and using the concept of excuse me, I got a burp. Well, one time I told you guys one time in my past, in my youth, that I had an insight that nothing makes any difference, and it was very uplifting or light enlightening, and felt it was very real, and it lasted for a little while. But anyway, I used that same concept, nothing makes any difference. And that, along with the mantra and just it, I recognized the difference between form and formlessness, and it was very, distinct or like, well, not, I don't know if that's the right word. It was very clear that there was a what form is. And what formlessness is. And I was just able to enjoy that. And anyway, overall, it seems to be making it easier for me to connect through mantra to the formlessness and recognize it better. And so I'm happy with that development. And but that thing about not making any difference, it was taking me to edge of, it almost appeared like I was gonna have to die to all the differences that my mind makes related to form. And I thought, well, that's fine with me. That's what I'm looking for. And Well, I guess that's all for now.
Well, the thing that I would say is difference for whom, you know, and if you understand your true formless nature, then everything is happening. There are differences within the bubble of illusion. And you could say, what difference does it make in your dream? You're having a dream and all the, but you're actively participating in this dream. You really don't have a choice. Like, you can't say, well, I'm just going to sit here because nothing I do makes any difference. But the I that is trying to sit here, you're automatically separating yourself from this when you say, there's no difference. Because if you just remain with your selfless self, there's no difference. But without having to use the words or even the concept of difference, because there's nothing.
That's what I'm saying. And yeah, I recognize that. It's at least to a better degree than I previously. It seems to be forming sort of like a background of my experience, and I sort of got I got an idea of what you meant by the mantra running in the background. It's like what the mantra delivers you to formlessness, and the formlessness is like in the background of form as the forms are, you know, doing their thing, but they're all differences, and all form is related to body and mind. Whereas I am not related, like I could see that the formlessness was not related to the form.
Correct.
And there, and then I could, you know, sort of understand what you're talking about when you say the whole universe could disappear, but I'm still there, kind of.
It wouldn't affect you at all. Yeah.
There's no effect on the form, me as formlessness.
Because just like in a dream, you lay down at sleep, it's formless consciousness of this dream consciousness in which all this form appears,
mm-hmm.
plays for a time, and then disappears. So it doesn't affect the dream consciousness, nor does it affect the waking consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
All of these activities and all these appearances are happening within this bubble of illusion, but you're outside of that.
Mm-hmm.
When I say outside, there's no inside, there's no outside, but outside meaning you're not in that bubble of illusion.
Yeah.
Only because you've identified with the little dream character for a time can you see with inside the illusion and say, oh, there's a world, a dream world, or a waking world.
And I'm still not sure if I can claim that the formlessness is me.
This just takes time sitting with yourself.
Yeah.
The more you remain with your selfless self, that's why you're saying about being attracted to the world. It is, you have to love yourself more than anything, basically. This sense of presence, this absolute peace and bliss, which is kind of the cookie that you get, or the reward you get for remaining with your selfless self. You get this selfless self intoxication. This just I, this amazing bliss, Satchitananda, whatever you want to call it. But you desire yourself more than all these passing things. Then it becomes the difference between, you know, lobster and tuna, or a canned tuna and fresh lobster. Like, which do you prefer? You want to remain with your selfless self, that you are. You're less likely to go out and try to give your attention to illusory outside things, because you, that's like, what are you more fascinated with? What do you enjoy more? You enjoy more remaining with your selfless self. And after a time, you have no choice, because even this concept of remaining with yourself dissolves within yourself. I guess you just are. Yeah. Where all experience ends, there you are.
Yeah, and it's not related to anybody else's. Like, I can think, well, this must be everybody else's self, but that's not even applicable.
Well, there is no everybody else. Everybody else is just illusory body forms with the sense of presence attaching itself and saying, I am this person, separate and apart from the whole, which is not true. And you can see this when you lay down and sleep at night. You attached to a dream body and saying, this is me within this dream, even though you're not aware of yourself dreaming. You say, this is me, and these are other people. Look at all the people, they're doing things. And then you wake up and you realize, oh, wow. Even though for a time that seemed like there was all these people and conversations were happening and all this stuff, it looked like real. But
and
you wake up.
And then you realize it has no form left to it. So it was kind of formless too.
Finished, and you are remaining. The only difference is then you say, oh, I'm awake. But the reality is the you that you are, these states have appeared to you or on your spontaneous presence. You never change. You never went to sleep. You never were born. You never die. the entire world could just explode in 1 second and there would be no effect.
Except on the body, relation.
Well, but there would be nothing. No, because again, it would just be like waking up. There's no effect on that one that was dream consciousness dreaming. The dream has no effect on you.
Would you say there never was any body relation? It just seemed
Of
like
course,
it just
there's no
seemed.
body. You cannot have body relations without a body, and you're not a body. So how could you have body relations?
So it just seems that way somehow.
Even in a dream. Even in a dream, it could seem like you're having conversations, and when you wake up, you know, well, that was very silly because I was talking to my own self. Obviously, who else was there in your dream?
You don't really need an answer, I guess, for.
But when you know yourself in a real sense, you understand that there's no difference between dreaming, sleeping dream, and waking, walking around dream. You're identified with a dream character, therefore, there's an appearance of a world. And the waking up is just to know yourself in a real sense. Well, how silly. How could I have been all this different? Like, how could I have ever imagined that there were separate people? With, like, everybody had their own little minds and thinking, plotting, and planning. It's all you.
That's so weird.
From different perspectives, different telescopes seeing inside this illusion from a perspective of that telescope seeing and saying, oh, this is what's going on in this life and all the friends and all this. But again, you do the same in the dream. From the limited perspective of the little dream character that you're identified with, you see a world and you see people and objects and everything. But when you wake up, you know, oh, it was all coming out of my own self. So when you know yourself in a real sense, you know, oh, it's all coming out of my own self.
Where's your salad?
Yeah, just leave
Let me see.
And if you're within the illusion, you want to refresh your memories of yourself. Again, you can understand that you're more like the space in the room in which these people are seemingly doing things than you are the body that you seem to be participating in the world with.
I'm still going to be tempted to want to figure out why forms the way it forms.
But why?
And I'm
In
just.
your dream, do you sit there and say, okay, I'm going to have this dream. We're going to create a
True,
river.
you don't have control over that.
No. Or you say, okay, I'm going to dream the scene of a park and I want to have like a bunch of people here and there's going to be somebody walking their dog and there's going to be some park benches. I want the sun like over here. No, it's just spontaneous.
Same with the waking state.
Of course.
Yeah.
And when you know yourself in a real sense, then you're not so caught up in what appears to be happening because you know, I have nothing to do with this world. But it's not that you say, oh, nothing matters. You know,
Right.
like, okay,
Yeah.
within this dream world, if I don't go to work tomorrow, my boss is not going to say, oh, it doesn't matter. Stay home. It's all a dream. It's all good. No, because while you're within this job, this dream, you do your job, you do your duties, take care of your responsibilities. If a doctor says, you know what, you have heart, okay, you need to exercise. Okay, you need to eat better. Okay. Take care of the body. Something happens, you go to a hospital. You don't just say, oh, it doesn't matter.
Without attachment, it's easier to change for one thing.
Well, without attachment, you say, okay, next step is I need to go to the hospital. Just like I spoke about before, the pacemaker situation and remaining with mantra on the way to the doctor, on the way to the surgery, going into the surgery, just remaining with mantra. It was very beautiful. You just remain with yourself, a self, and okay, this is happening, this is happening. Then you wake up, and here you are, you've got the pacemaker. You don't have to think about it. Because, see, the thing is, if you sit there and identify with the flow of thoughts because you believe yourself to be someone that something can happen to, then you extend the concept of time with worry.
Mm-hmm.
But why? Just remain with your selfless self. The scenes will appear and disappear. And before you know it, you're leaving the hospital with no experience, no experiencer.
It's also easier to see that desires are almost laughable.
Desiring for what? You're formless. What the hell could you possibly want? Be honest. Like, that's why Maharaj says very beautifully, you were not born with pockets. Why try and pocket the things of the world? You weren't born with pockets.
Of course, I know I'm going to fall for that trap in the ongoing basis. But
well, and desire for like, okay, I'm hungry. You listen to this. Your body is giving the signal, and a thought comes, I'm hungry. Okay, eat.
Yeah, I guess you don't really have to take it personal.
You know? Exactly. You don't have to create a Keith to eat.
Yeah.
You know, hold on. Body is saying it's hungry. I need to create someone who can eat this meal and enjoyer of the meal. I need to create this.
It's like the second me or something.
There is no second you. You are that. The food you're eating is your own self.
Not like I eat my body. But
well, because all the forms are appearing and disappearing within you.
I know one guy that he used to eat his fingernails.
But there is no ability for you to eat.
Yeah. Yeah.
The body is hungry, so the body's being fed. Just like the car. You see your car. It's on E, and it gives a little light. You know, if we want to keep the car running, we need to put some gas in this car. Okay, body is saying, through thought, I am hungry. So, therefore, as Maharaj says, an action happens. Pick up the water. Drink, put it down. Body is now fed. Car is now full. Instrument is available to do what it does. The instrument is there as the telescope to see inside this illusory world and do what needs doing and to have an experience of being separate and apart from, although you know yourself as not separate nor apart. You're able to imagine so many things because you have a body form in a world.
All relations are body relations.
All relations are body relations, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Mom, dad, sister, brother, son are all you. Because they're lumps of goo. It's the body factory. Two bodies get together, two pigs get together, they make a pig.
Mm-hmm.
Two people, humans, this body form gets together and makes another body form. It's just a body factory. And the presence that you are, continuously understanding, oh, this consciousness of being alive, existing, happens. And then because you're having this experience of existing, you're seeing through these eyes, again, the space in the room sees through the eyes, but has nothing to do with the body. It's like you're the space using this instrument to see inside the space, and you forget that you're the space. You start to think that you're somehow in the space that you are, but you're not.
Mm-hmm.
You just cut this, and the easiest way to cut this with mantra, it erases the illusory thoughts because the fire is always burning. It's just covered with the ash. So these illusory thoughts are done. Fire is bright. Oh, so that I am that. And now go about, do your job, do your duties, take care of your responsibilities. But everything's very light because you're not trying to protect this anymore. You're not like, oh my gosh, you know, I have to get mine.
Mm.
And I can't get mine without taking what you have. Or you've got too much. I need more. But it's all you. And you're phoneless. And that doesn't mean you can't go. You could buy nice clothes. You could buy a nice car, buy a nice house, do whatever you want. Because it's all illusion. You know yourself in a real sense. That's why Maharaj has spoken many times about it doesn't matter what you eat. You say, oh, I have to eat a sattvic diet. I can only eat vegetarian or whatever. This is for the body. When you know yourself in a real sense, it absolutely does not matter. Everything should be in moderation so you're not damaging the instrument with which you're seeing and experiencing the world, as you don't want to damage yourself. But whatever the body wants, take the body. Okay. No problem. No, I'm not body.
Well, it seems like there could be a conflict between what is spontaneous. Like if you do want a certain type of big house, that seems like a unspontaneous idea.
No, because as you're moving to, let's say, you get on the internet and you start house shopping. Then you apply for a house. You apply for the application. You go, you see the house. All of these are spontaneous in the moment. They don't need you to create someone doing them. The sense of doership comes after the action. So eliminate this concept of a sense of a doer because you know yourself in a real sense.
So you're going to act practically, automatically, kind of.
Again, this is practical spirituality. We're not asking you to sit on a mountaintop and, you know, just meditate all day long. No. It's practical spirituality. You know yourself in a real sense. So therefore, you do your job, do your duties, take care of your responsibilities. If the body needs maintenance, you go to a doctor. Car needs maintenance, you go to a mechanic.
So if
car needs replacing, buy a new car. You understand? But you're not so tied. Everything's very light. Even it's family. Like, you start to have issues with family. Oh, the family is bothering me, or my friends are putting pressure on me to do this or this. That's when you just sit there. Oh. Because it's the thoughts that you're identified with as having these issues that are creating these illusory problems, which then provides you with stress. And then the body is interpreting this kind of stress as I am having all these problems. And you're sitting there just flowing along with the thoughts, lost. But you remain with your selfless self. All problems are solved within you. The answers to every problem are you. Because there are no problems.
I told that to my psychologist once because I was feeling it. I was feeling like that particular day that there are no problems. She disagreed with me.
She disagreed with you?
Yeah.
Well, again, you have to identify with thought. And as Nisargadatta Maharaj said, psychiatry would be wonderful if the psychiatrists understood the workings of the mind, the reality of the mind, rather than just the science of thought. But understanding that mind itself is illusion, and you can identify with the flow of thoughts and be taken away, or you can stand on the riverbank and allow the thoughts to flow but not get involved. Therefore, they don't carry you away. There's no place to hang your hat. Without a hanger, how can a problem stick to you? It's these sticky concepts of, I am John. John is having trouble with so-and-so. Okay, there's no John, there's no so-and-so. It's spontaneous, it's presence. How do I solve this problem with having a trouble with another? I remain with myself as self, and then the concept of myself and another dissolves.
And I guess you're not going to be doing things to cause conflicts because you just won't react.
You'll be within yourself. There won't be the ability for a concept of another to be created because you're remaining with yourself. So you always say, like, oh, the world needs attention. But if you remain with your selfless self, the world dissolves. And it literally is just spontaneous action, scenes appearing and disappearing. Because there are no others, there's no conflict, because there's no you. You can literally look down and see your hands, and and no, you're not body. Without the concept of not being a body, without the words of I'm not body, even without the words of I exist, you know your existence.
Directly,
it's direct recognition in the projection. You know, in this projection that we call world, because there's a body, you can know yourself in a real sense. Without the body, you just are. There's no ability to know yourself, but also there's really no need to do this, nor is there anyone that wants to know, because in order to have someone who wants to know themselves, you have to create the concept of duality and then kind of live in it through imagination. Same with dream. Lay down and sleep at night. Boom! Dream world's created because of the knowledge of existence. You have deep sleep, there's nothing. Then the knowledge of existence, dream consciousness appears, populates a world. You identify with the dream character so that you can experience the concept of enjoying a world. And then you wake up. World is gone. The concept of you as a dream body is gone. And you suddenly realize, oh, just a dream. When you know yourself in a real sense, it's the same way. The illusory world appeared very real for a time. I was identified with the body, and therefore there was the appearance of a world. I needed identification with a world in order to create a story that I am living life. And the truth is, this is not true. But now that you know it's not true, live life. Enjoy.
And what would you say about trust? You just trust. Is trust involved? You sort of could say that related to the body. Trust is involved.
I mean, you would say you have trust and faith in the master while identified with a body form, and you're believing that the master is a body form. The master has told you to remain with your selfless self, mantra, the world is illusion. Now it's up to you to discover this. So now you have to sort of trust that this is true, but discovering it for your own self will remove the concept of trust because it's direct realization. Oh.
Well, obviously, I mean, I've noticed all along that as time goes on, I recognize, I do trust and recognize, because I recognize the stuff you say is in my own experience.
Yeah, yeah. Well, they call it, I think, the threefold, where you read about it, you hear it from a master, and then you directly experience it. It's like the threefold something. They talk about, like, you'll read it in scripture, and then there'll be a master who will tell you, and then you'll have the direct experience. So it's basically like evidentiary, self-evident.
Self-evident.
You hear about it, or you read about it. A master tells you, yes, this is the truth. And then you experience it directly for yourself. And this is beautiful too, because then if somebody else comes and says, as Maharaj says, somebody says, oh, no, but you don't know yourself. You need to be many, many years in the ashram and doing Siva service, you know, and all these sort of things, or you have to wear the beads, or you have to do this, or you have to do that. But once you know yourself, it's like, okay, you do you. I'll just remain with my selfless self.
So there is a sort of the Tibetan Buddhists have all this sort of ways of dealing with reality. You know, it's like it seems valid to some degree, because it's all set up for the purpose of knowing yourself.
Well, again, Maharaj,
it's good to have. It's good to have, huh?
Prior to body, where was Buddha and Buddhism and all of this?
Yeah.
So you remain with yourself as self, because all this came along with the body, which you are not.
So it doesn't really make a lot of sense to criticize or confirm whatever.
Why? It's all illusion. Nothing's true. Nothing's false. Like, to sit there and argue about the false in, like, what? My false is more true than your false.
And I still have remnants in my mind, of course, of more things being more, things being less, whatever.
Well, and then you just remain with yourself as self, the answer to everything. No more, no less, no nothing.
Ooh.
And not the concept of nothing. Because you're remaining with your selfless self. There's not even this concept of a void. Like you say, oh, people meditate for some time and they're like, oh, I came to the void. It was very scary. If that's what reality is, I don't want to meditate anymore. But you're the knower of this void. If you remain with your selfless self, where all experience ends, there you are.
Way back when I first started actually meditating with a sort of Tibetan Buddhist type group, it was a surprisingly big retreat, a pretty large room filled with people.